Welcome to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two of the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Low scores all over the place at the Rocket Classic. So multiple record-setting performances on that course. Wes Reynolds will try to make sense of it coming up here in just a little bit as we get his thoughts there to jump on and how to bet the Rocket Classic. Also coming up later on in this hour, we will check in with Chris Miles, talk a little NBA, which we're going to do here in just a moment. But thanks as always to Brad Power. Some good stuff there from Brad as he took a look at the college football landscape as we get closer and closer. I'll give you some thoughts on the Big 12 and maybe a long shot to win that conference, courtesy of Chris Felica. We'll do that later on in this hour. And I put in a couple of win total bets as well earlier this week on the podcast. And if you missed that, I'll run through those again later on in this hour as we hit on our best bets. So it is UFC 317 International Fight Week. We'll get some thoughts on that in about an hour or so. Joe Fortenbaugh from ESPN will jump on the program and he'll give us his thoughts and best bets for tonight as T-Mobile Arena will be the site of UFC 317. Two title fights there, and also Chuck Esposito will give us the latest from behind the counter on how those particular bets, or excuse me, those fights are being bet so far this evening. Always when fights are in town, tend to get a little uptick in that betting handle. So curious to hear from Chuck Esposito on that. But earlier this week, Matt Newmans and I were on the air as the NBA draft was unfolding, and no real surprises at 1, 2, 3, or 4. At 5 is where things got a little bit more interesting with Ace Bailey going to the Utah Jazz. There are reports out there that he is expected to show up in Utah, so we'll see how that situation unfolds. And we've got a clip from Brian Windhorst we're going to play here in just a moment. But let's start with Cooper Flagg. This was a foregone conclusion, it feels like, for over a year that Cooper Flagg would ultimately be the number one pick. And where would he go? That was just the ultimate question, as that lottery was so highly anticipated. Teams like Washington and Utah were hoping that they would get the number one pick after being one of the worst teams in the NBA. At the end of the day, a team who traded away Luka Doncic and one of the worst trades maybe in the history of the league ends up getting rewarded with Cooper Flagg. And now he goes down to the Dallas Mavericks. Let's hear from Cooper Flagg first, as he was introduced earlier this week, number 32 down there in Dallas, Texas.
Coming in just trying to learn and trying to get better every single day. And I think if I can do that to the best of my ability, I think expectations and pressures that other people, you know, will put on me and our team, that will kind of work itself out. So, you know, I'm just trying to come in and be the best that I can be and just win at the highest level.
You know, it's funny. I asked Matt Newmans this question on Wednesday night when we were doing the show. And I said, when you look at the highly anticipated college players, if you remove Victor Wembanyama, if you remove LeBron James, where does Cooper Flagg rank in recent years as expectations coming in as a rookie out of the college ranks? He brought up Zion. I would push back. I think Cooper Flagg, if you look at the prospect, now Zion, the hype, the dunks, all of that, but if you look at the prospect, I think Cooper Flagg is certainly believed to be a bigger and better prospect than Zion couple years back when he was drafted ultimately by the New Orleans Pelicans. You could go back to Kevin Durant when he was drafted in, what was that, 2007? But remember, he was the second overall pick and not the first overall pick. Greg Oden, which ended up being, due to injuries, one of the more bigger busts of all time when you think about how Kevin Durant ultimately went second to the then Seattle Seahawks, Supersonics, and then shortly thereafter, the Oklahoma City Thunder. So Cooper Flagg, Naismith Award winner just a year ago at Duke, I think lived up to every expectation when he went down to Duke to be the nation's player of the year as a freshman. I think he exceeded expectations. Jason Kidd, not going to be the New York Knicks coach. He's going to stay down there in Dallas. His thoughts on his new rookie.
Sitting here listening to him, is it incredible? I mean, we're talking about an 18-year-old who has all the right answers. and it's talking about working out after this. But, you know, when you talk about his gift, he's a basketball player, and he's a winner.
There's no doubt. And, you know, look, the jokes are we're flying. How does a team with three top 10 picks not win the national championship? Sure, that is a fair question to ask when you think about how it ultimately played out there for the Duke Blue Devils. But regardless, Cooper Flagg, a guy that is going to be and is already a significant favorite to win Rookie of the Year. And I'm not going to push back on that. Am I going to bet minus $1.95? No. You know, maybe similarly to what we talked about with Drew Dinsick in hour number one regarding the Oklahoma City Thunder, is this a time now to bet Cooper Flagg? Is the number going to shorten? I remember 2 years ago when you had Chet Holmgren and you had Victor Wembanyama, because remember, Chet got hurt his rookie season, his rookie season was technically his second year. And I ended up grabbing a ticket on the field versus Victor Wembanyama, hoping that Chet or maybe someone just comes out of nowhere and ultimately wins that award. Right now, looking at the odds board, Cooper Flagg is at minus -185. Dylan Harper, 9-1. Ace Bailey, plus +950. Trey Johnson is 10-1. I want to talk to Chris Miles about this coming up bottom of the hour. I would say of those four, the one that interests me the most at the price would be Trey Johnson. Look, I'm a big believer in Trey Johnson. If you look at what he did at Texas, I thought he was a phenomenal, phenomenal player, elite shooter. And then you're going to a situation in Washington where, as crazy as this sounds, and I take my digs at that organization quite often, I actually think it's a decent situation for Trey Johnson to go into. You've got some veteran guards that'll be there to kind of help you grow into becoming a pro, whether it be Chris Middleton or CJ McCollum or Marcus Smart. But we know that those three guards know why they're there. They're not there to try to win a championship. And you've got a lot of young pieces. Bob Carrington had a really strong rookie season there in Washington. But when I look at someone like Trey Johnson, a guy that, remember, in his first ever game in the college ranks, it was here in Las Vegas against Ohio State. It was a loss, but he went out there and he dropped 29 on Ohio State, hit 5 threes. This is a guy that can fill it up from a stat standpoint. When you look at what he did last year at Texas, shooting 40% from three, averaging 20 points a game. Do I think Cooper Flagg should be the favorite? Absolutely, he should be the favorite. Will he win the award? Probably. But if we're trying to take shots at who could ultimately be Rookie of the Year, I do think Trey Johnson, the situation he's walking into, is intriguing. You know, Dylan Harper, if you're San Antonio, you make the move to go get Dylan Harper. But the situation he's walking into, where you have last year's Rookie of the Year in Stephon Castle, you have De'Aaron Fox, and of course you have Victor Wembanyama, I just don't know if Dylan Harper is going to be able to put up the type of stats that ultimately could get him to Rookie of the Year. And then there's the conundrum with Ace Bailey and how this whole thing played out. Was it a red flag that he didn't work out for anybody, that he wanted to kind of call his shot? He wanted, according to reports, to go to Washington. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the Utah Jazz, a team that was hoping to get the number one overall pick, landed at 5 with the way the lottery unfolded this year. And at number 5, they threw us the first real curveball of the NBA draft. The odds told us it was going to be Jeremiah Fears, the point guard out of Oklahoma. We know they had worked him out, but Ace Bailey was sitting there. And I would imagine that the powers that be there in Utah and Salt Lake City said, he's too good to pass up here at number 5. Brian Windhorst was on ESPN earlier this week talking about this situation and ultimately how this thing will play out with Ace Bailey with the Utah Jazz. Will it be a John Elway situation? Will he not report? Or at the end of the day, will cooler heads prevail? And will Ace Bailey show up and play for the Utah Jazz?
I do not think any team in this situation would give in. They have the ultimate position, and I do not see Danny Ainge giving in. And here's the bottom line. The Utah Jazz play in Salt Lake City, and I say this as somebody who lives in the middle of the country, they cannot worry about whether a player wants to be in Salt Lake City or whether he loves the fit on their roster. They have to draft and develop the most talented players they can. That is why they took him, despite him not working out, and they will absolutely not budge on this. And eventually, Ace Bailey is going to be a Utah Jazz.
Yeah, and I think that's the way this is ultimately going to play out. Now, will he be successful there in Utah? Will this be a situation that we're talking about for years to come, that they made a mistake? Look, at the end of the day, when I look at the NBA, and if you rank Ace Bailey as the second best prospect or the third best prospect, and you're at number five, you got to take a shot. Marcus Spears, I thought, had a interesting tweet. He said, Ace Bailey's story reminds me about Steph Curry's father and agent asking the Warriors not to draft him in 2009 with the seventh pick so he could go to the Knicks with the next pick. Steph also didn't work out for the Warriors. Undeterred, Warriors GM Larry Riley drafted Steph anyways. I think this could be how this ultimately plays out with Danny Ainge and his son running things. How will Ace Bailey fit in Utah? I also like the fact that they went out and they got Walter Clayton Jr. They were aggressive, sitting there at 21, knowing that Miami was probably the fourth floor for Walter Clayton Jr. They hopped up, they grabbed him, and ultimately they've got Walter Clayton Jr. and now Ace Bailey in Salt Lake City. Hey, folks, taking a look at ProfitX. Make sure you use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. It's got the best odds in 40-plus states. You can make your own odds. Use the code VSIN and get up to 200 in ProfitX cash.
You're tuned in to the VSIN Weekend Morning Line.
Yes, indeed, it is the VSIN Weekend Morning Line. And look, from time to time, we get a little breaking news here on the program. I think it was it last week? Yeah, I think it was last week. Yeah, man, it's only 6 days ago. It was Game 7 of the NBA Finals. It feels like it was a lot longer than that. But Kevin Durant news came out right before we signed off the air. I would say this, it's not as big as the Kevin Durant trade, but we do have a trade. The Chicago Bulls are sending Lonzo Ball to the Cleveland Cavaliers in exchange for Isaac Okoro. So a little bit of a move there. Lonzo Ball now heads to the Cleveland Cavaliers and Isaac Okoro moving on to the Chicago Bulls. And to help us talk more about this, as well as how in the world do we bet this Rocket Classic out there in Michigan? Wes Reynolds joins us courtesy of our Progressive guest line. So, Wes, we got a little breaking news to react to here. Not a massive trade, but certainly a name that folks know. And, you know, Lonzo Ball has obviously dealt with a ton of injuries. But you think about maybe the front line that Cleveland has and the passing capabilities of Lonzo Ball assuming health. What do you make of this move by Cleveland to try to kind of shore up their backcourt, especially with the possibility that Ty Jerome could be leaving for a bigger payday?
Yeah, I think it's a good move by Cleveland, actually, Tim. And even before what happened in Game 7, obviously, with the Tyrese Halliburton injury and putting aside my loyalty to my hometown team, the Indiana Pacers, I still would have rated Cleveland number one in the East going into next season, even with a fully healthy Tyrese Halliburton. I think that they are ranked as the number one team going in for the East. I think this is a very good move for them. This gives them another ball handler. I think, you know, the possibility you mentioned of Ty Jerome, of course, he's got an expiring contract. Sam Merrill, who's a three-point shooter off the bench, has an expiring contract. And, you know, maybe this is the impetus. They could be potentially make a move on Darius Garland if they want to trade him. I don't think that that's going to happen, but give them another ball handler. I think Cleveland absolutely is the number one favorite in the East, which is really wide open. I mean, Boston is still making moves. They're obviously still going to be a factor. I don't think Brad Stevens and company are necessarily packing it in. Philadelphia is a team not being talked about because once they had the injuries, they went into the tank. But now you bring back Embiid, Maxey, George, add B.J. Etchcombe, who is the number three pick. So, you've got a wide open East, and we know the Desmond Bain deal with Orlando earlier this summer. So it'll be interesting to monitor this free agency / trade market here in July.
Yeah, I put in a 12-1 ticket on the Philadelphia 76ers. If it doesn't come home, I'm going to blame Jeff Sherman and Will Hill. They were the two that kind of pushed me over the top on that. But yeah,
our buddy Jeff Sherman has been riding that Philadelphia train, him and Ed Sanders over there for about 10 years now.
Now, he did preface it. He said, I'm doing it again. I'm going back in on the Philadelphia 76ers. But I got to ask you, Wes, we haven't spoken since last Sunday night. Unfortunately, not only do the Pacers lose, but as we all know, they lose Ty Halliburton for all of next year with that Achilles tear. What's your expectation for the Pacers heading into next season now?
Yeah, Tim, I would probably say they look like about a 5 or 6 seed in the East. Is what they look like without Halliburton, and the fact you got to change a little bit of how you play because he changes the pace and because they play faster, I think, with him handling the basketball. Now let's see what they do with Miles Turner. It looks like that they're going to do a re-sign with Miles Turner because I think with the healthy tie, they were certainly going to run it back and just maybe kind of fine-tune at the back end of the roster. But they're going to, I think, keep the same team and that brain trust there with, Rick Carlisle, Kevin Pritchard, Chad Buchanan, Ted Wu, they had just rebuilt when they first acquired Halliburton from Sacramento. So they went about 3.25 year on a rebuild. So they're probably thinking, okay, what's another year here? What's another year to, get our guy, get Tyrese healthy, keep the core of the team together, because this team was one half away from winning an NBA title. They're 24 minutes away. So do you really want to combust the team basically and just blow it all up? And I don't seem to think that they do. So, they're going to try to run it back, put Ben Mathurin in the starting lineup and see where they go from there. But I would say they're a 5-6 in the East right now. I don't think that they drop completely out of playoff contention like maybe some of the futures odds board says, though.
Once again, the drafting of Cam Jones out of Marquette, not going to change the odds, not going to make them, significantly better. I said it on draft night when I was at home watching it, and I'll say it to you. I like this move. This move makes a lot of sense for the Pacers. When you look at how they build that roster, you've got a veteran guard, played 4 years in college, played in a really, up-tempo system. I think he makes a lot of sense for the Indiana Pacers there. Hopefully, a role player there in Cam Jones that they drafted in the second round. Wes Reynolds joining us courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Once again, the breaking news, Lonzo Ball on the move. He will now be a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Chris Miles from NBA TV going to join us in about 25 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on that trade as well. But Wes, we opened the show taking a look at, today's big events. Obviously, we've got UFC 317, a full slate of baseball. I got to ask you, as one of our golf experts here and co-host of the Long Shots podcast, what in God's name do we do with this Rocket Classic? Because every single time we look up, they're breaking the course record.
They certainly are. And the fact that you've got right now 28 players, including a few that went out in the early flight this morning, you got 28 players at 11 under par or better right now here in Detroit. And then this is the part of the Midwest Birdie Fest that we're going to get this week and then at the John Deere next week before everybody goes overseas for the prep for the Open Championship at Port Rush. So I've got a couple, just three back. I've got Lee Hodges and also Michael Chorbornson at 11 under. Those seem to be my contenders, but you never know. You're seeing some low numbers here. You're seeing guys that are going to shoot 7-8 under rounds that are in the morning and hope that they can contend. So this is hard for me to recommend a bunch of guys where it's okay, you play these guys in play when you have 28 there. But, these guys that I did like coming in, I did like Stuart Borenson. He is 16-1 right now. I'm seeing Jackson Suber is maybe another one to consider. He is one off the lead. He is 28-1. Jackson Suber has been up there on the strokes gained approach list, which is your iron play, with the Scotty Schefflers of the world, who are the best iron players out there, and the Colin Morikawas. And that's a guy maybe that can keep this going. But Yeah, this is a wide open event because you don't have a lot of top end quality in this field because guys are taken off before the Open Championship and they've gone through the majors gauntlet and they had the Travelers last week. So, you know, the only real top end guys you have here are Cantlay and Morikawa. Cantlay's got a good round going, but he was well deep down the board in overnight. So, you know, Suber, Tjor Bornsen, some of these young guys, I think, are the guys to watch this afternoon.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Jake Knapp goes out, shoots a 61, breaks the course record yesterday. He's 28-1 to win this thing. I mean, it's pretty wild to look at the odds board right now, but it has been a ton of low scores being thrown out there. Wes Reynolds joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Of course, you can catch him all over the network doing hits. You can read his work over at vsin.com. Let's hit a little baseball here, Wes, because I know you threw in a couple plays over at vsin.com/picks. This bet is on the move, so you bet it at 9. It's now 9.5. Let's go to PNC Park this afternoon. Pittsburgh and the Mets. You played over 9. Right now, market sitting at 9.5. Why ultimately do you like the over in this one?
Yeah, 9-30 for me here, Tim. Paul Blackburn, they're trying to, you know, the Mets have injuries on that pitching staff, of course, with Senga and with Sean Manet out, so they're trying to get Paul Blackburn back to being a starter. Remember, he was with the A's organization and did pretty well out there, but he's really had his struggles. 536 on the XFIP. Bailey Falter has some regression coming. He's been a little bit lucky. So I know it's tough to play over in Pirates games because these guys can have power surges at the plate, but I played the over 9-130. It may come back. It'll dance around that 9-9.5, but I think you're going to see a lot of runs there in the Steel City.
All right, one more that you threw into the account. We saw Sonny Gray as efficient as Greg Maddux last night. Just a remarkable pitching performance from Sonny Gray. He hands it over to Miles Michaelis today for the Cardinals. And your expectation is for Miles to not replicate what his teammate did yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think so. And that's what I like to do with some of these pitcher props. A lot of it is bullpen usage. Well, they didn't get any bullpen usage because Sonny Gray went 9 strong, complete game over there in Cleveland, a shutout. Michaelis last time out went 97 pitches. That was a season high. That's only the second time of the season that he's actually gone over 90. I mean, he's essentially a 5-inning pitcher. And I know Cleveland has not been really good at the plate. They might get Jose Ramirez back, though, this afternoon. And I think they're going to put a lot of lefties in there. And that's where Miles Michaelis struggles against lefty-heavy lineups. So bullpen had some time off, so I don't think Michaelis goes more than 5, under 16.5 outs for me.
He's Wes Reynolds at Wes Reynolds 1, co-host of the Long Shots podcast. Read him over at vsin.com. Wes, always appreciate it, sir.
You bet, Tim. Thank you.
There he is, our guy Wes Reynolds. There is a trade in the NBA. Lonzo Ball on the move to Cleveland. We'll talk about that in 20 minutes. Up next, I got some best bets for college football we'll discuss.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
We keep it rolling here on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line, less than 2 months away from the start of the college football season. We'll have our NFL guide, folks, coming out on Tuesday. So now's the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our football special, $175 right now. Everything we have to offer all throughout the football season, and it starts on Tuesday. Breaking news this morning, we do have a trade to tell you about in the NBA as Lonzo Ball is on the move to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Isaac Okoro is headed to the Chicago Bulls. We'll get some thoughts on said trade coming up in less than 15 minutes. Chris Miles from NBA TV will give us his thoughts on the trade, as well as what we've seen so far this offseason and Cooper Flagg heading down to the Dallas Mavericks. But we've continued to do this on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line because this show is our tailgate show during the fall on Saturdays. So we've been prepping you for the college football season. As up and running now is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. And I want to get you a clip here in just a moment of Chris Felica talking about the Big 12. We had asked Brad Powers last hour about the Big 12, a couple of teams that intrigue him from an odds standpoint, and he is bullish on the Utah Utes. But this made me laugh yesterday because coming up in about a week and a half or so, We'll get the Big 12 Media Days. Last year, Big 12 Media Days were here in Las Vegas. I was out there. I did not take part in the media poll, which came out to be one of the more just built for old takes exposed on Twitter. But we got this news courtesy of Brett McMurphy earlier this week that we will not get the Big 12 media poll anymore. So Brett McMurphy, America's insider, letting us know that Big 12 ADs and coaches have decided to do away with the league's preseason media poll. Big 12 will continue its preseason all league teams. Why are they doing away with it? How about we take a look at last year's Big 12 preseason media poll? There are 16 teams in the Big 12 because obviously nothing makes sense. As you look at this, what jumps out to you? I'll give you a second. Go down to the bottom. Arizona State picked 16th out of 16 teams. What did Arizona State do, ladies and gentlemen? They won the damn conference. And then you look at the top, Utah, Oklahoma State, Kansas, Arizona. 1, 3, 4, 5. All miss bowl games. Oklahoma State picked third last fall. Did not win a game in Big 12 play. So that is the all-timer right there. 1, 3, 4, and 5 in the preseason poll all failed to reach a bowl game. And the team number 16 won the conference. So they said, ah, we don't need any more. We don't need any more old takes exposed from our media poll. Let's do away with said media poll. Well, that's all good and fun. But we as bettors, we don't care about that. We care about where there is perceived value in the most unpredictable conference in college football. Chris Felica, the Bear, joined me on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast earlier this week, and this is what he had to say about some long shots in the Big 12.
And you bring in Connor Wegman and some other guys. Willie Fritz has a tendency to really improve from year one to year two. He's a great turnaround guy. Like they competed last year. I think this guy can coach. Again, you look at that schedule. You get Colorado in your Big 12 opener there at home, September 12th. You get Texas Tech at home. That's not the worst bet in the world. I think you could potentially look at a Houston win total maybe over again as well. And then the other team I think you could potentially look at winning that league would be Baylor. I think Baylor was the best team in that league probably by the end of the year last year, the way that they were playing. Now the question is going to be if Robertson can continue that upward trend, but it felt like Aranda's team kind of turned that corner last year with Spav, and I think that this team will be definitely a force by the end of the year. But again, you look at early in the year, right out of the gate, Auburn at SMU, Arizona State through your first four, you're going to know early. Yeah. So the start of the year is very big for them.
That was our good friend Chris Felica, the Bear, giving out some of his favorite plays. And it was an extensive conversation. Make sure you check it out wherever you get your VSiN or wherever you get your podcast, the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. So long shot Houston for him, 40-1. No Kansas State on the schedule for the Houston Cougars, year two of Willie Fritz. They bring in Connor Wegman. I'll say this real quickly regarding the Big 12. I love the quarterbacks this year in the Big 12. And I know there's some unfortunate news percolating potentially regarding Jake Retzlaff at BYU. But right now that is being denied. So we're not going to dive into that all that much. But when you look at the odds that are out there for the Big 12 this year, and you look up and down the quarterbacks heading into this year in the Big 12, it is pretty fascinating. Avery Johnson at Kansas State, Sam Leavitt at Arizona State. Utah's got Devin Dampier, someone I've talked about on this show, the transfer from New Mexico that I'm extremely high on. His offensive coordinator comes with him. You've got Morton, if he can stay healthy, at Texas Tech, as Brad Powers alluded to, number one transfer portal class. Sawyer Robertson at Baylor, Retzlaff at BYU, Josh Hoover, a guy that I think is pretty underrated, especially if he can cut down on the turnovers at TCU. Rocco Beck back for another year at Iowa State. You've got Jalen Daniels at Kansas. So you look up and down the Big Ten board, and I think it's really interesting when you look at some of the quarterback play that is going to be out there this year. And when we enter a year in 2025 with the uncertainty atop college football with some of these big name programs, whether it be Alabama, whether it be Texas, if you want to throw in that with Arch Manning, Notre Dame with CJ Carr, the Big 12 has some proven quarterbacks. And I think that's why this year is going to be wildly unpredictable. If I had to pick a winner, it still would be Utah, just because I'm all in on Devin Dampier. I think he's going to be special there in Salt Lake City. All right, I did throw out a couple of best bets earlier today or earlier this week on the podcast, so I'll throw them out to you right now in case you missed it. And I want to go to this win total, and that's Nebraska. Nebraska got a lot of love last year, year two for Matt Rhule a year ago, and it went fine. It did not go, I think, as well as many anticipated it to go. But ultimately for me, Nebraska, where I believe the juice at DraftKings is minus 115, so make sure to shop around. That's what I bet earlier this week. Win total sits at 7.5. I'm going over on the Nebraska Cornhuskers. This is something you're going to hear a lot, and this isn't the main reason, or really, it's a reason, but it's not the reason that I went over 7.5 wins for the Corn this year. But year three of Matt Rhule and his previous two stops has been that big leap. Look at Temple, year one, 2-10. Year two, 6-6. Year three, 10-4. Goes to Baylor, year one, 1-11. Year two, 6-6, bowl win gets him to 7-6. Year three, big jump, 11-3, lost in the Sugar Bowl. Year one at Nebraska, 5-7. Last year, 6-6 with the bowl win. And now this year, we'll find out. But as you look right there, year three has been the big leap years for Matt Rhule. Let's look at the roster. Dylan Raiola, big time prospect, up and down freshman season, a lot of hype going in. Does it settle down a little bit in year number two? I think one of the massive additions that Nebraska brought in, he actually brought him in late last season. That was bringing in Dana Holgorsen to be their offensive coordinator. Now a full offseason to have Dana Holgorsen there. They've upgraded the offensive line. This is a top 15 transfer portal class there for Nebraska. You bring in Rocco Spindler from Notre Dame, Eliza Pritchett from Alabama, both going to be starters on the offensive line. You do lose your defensive coordinator, Tony White, which is less than ideal. But let's look at the schedule, too, because that is so important to me when you're betting win totals. The non-conference, they'll be favored in every single game, and significant favorites. They're a 6.5-point favorite week one against Cincinnati, neutral site game in Kansas City. They play Akron. They play Houston Christian. They should be 3-0. Who do they miss? They miss Ohio State. They miss Oregon. Two of the three best teams in the conference they do not have on their schedule this year. And then you look at the bottom of the Big Ten. Who do they get? They get Maryland. They get Northwestern. They get UCLA, they get Michigan State, and Rutgers. Like, when you look at this schedule, no Rutgers, excuse me. When you look at this schedule, if they can beat Michigan September 20th, game on. But you don't even have to get that one. I think the schedule sets up nicely. Obviously tricky there at Penn State November 22nd, but you're getting it off a bye. I'm going over. I'm eating some corn. Summertime, you got to eat corn. Who doesn't love corn in the summer? Nebraska, give me the over there. Hey, folks, just a reminder, all our best bets brought to you by our friends over at GBank, and they're introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. With that, you'll receive $200 back in cashback rewards from GBank.
Tuned in to the VSIN Weekend Morning Line.
We keep it rolling here on a Saturday morning. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. It's International Fight Week, folks. UFC 317 at T-Mobile. 30 minutes from now, my good friend Joe Fortenbaugh from ESPN will give us his best bets for UFC 317 tonight. And before we know it, ladies and gentlemen, Vegas, it'll be busy. The whole NBA world will be coming here for Summer League, and I'm sure our next guest will be here as well. You can catch him on NBA TV. My good friend Chris Miles joins us courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Chris, I wanted to have you on to recap the draft and talk about the Durant trade, but we got a little breaking news this morning. As Lonzo Ball's headed to Cleveland, what do you make of this fit for the Cavaliers with Lonzo headed to a spot where he's going to be able to throw that lob quite often?
Yeah, I mean, great points made by you. And I kind of look at it like when the season ended for the Cleveland Cavaliers, I thought, what are they going to do with Darius Garland? And do they move Jared Allen? Like all the other pieces, I thought, you know, played to their potential, look good. Of course, Garland had the toe injury this year, but the previous year it was the jaw. And, you know, he and Donovan Mitchell are both like 6'2"-ish. And having a backcourt in this NBA, it just doesn't really fit. And obviously Lonzo Ball's 6'6", one of the most amazing passers that, you know, you'll get talent-wise. Obviously, he's had some injuries throughout his career. But I do wonder if this now means Darius Garland is the next guy to be on the move, right? Because not that Lonzo Ball has the same track record of being able to play as much as Garland, but now that backcourt is starting to look a little crowded. Especially if they're bringing back Ty Jerome. And I just wonder if it's like, okay, see what we're going to get in return for Garland. And that's the tweak of this team that, you know, had such a banner regular season and a disappointment in the playoffs.
Chris Miles joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Chris, when you look at the Eastern Conference, you know, now you've got the Celtics kind of rebuilding on the fly here with the moves that they've made. Jason Tatum going to be done for the year. The unfortunate situation, as we all saw last Sunday, with Tyrese Halliburton getting hurt. So it feels like the East is wide open. How would you look at this East? Are we overcomplicating it? Is it just the Knicks and Cavs? Or could you see a little bit further down a team like Orlando or, God forbid, Philly maybe figures it out here? What do you make of the Eastern Conference right now?
Oh, buddy, I see that, and I'm looking at the screen right now, and I'm going complete Atlanta Hawks and complete Orlando Magic. I mean, ooh. Look, the Hawks are the ones where I'm like, why not? Why not? They went to the Eastern Conference Finals when they built the right team around Trae Young. They brought in a new front office. They made some shrewd moves. I think getting Asa Newell is the same as like when they drafted Jalen Johnson. It seems like the exact same story. A guy that's hyper-athletic, that some people believe underachieved in college a bit, but playing with Trae Young as a lob threat, as a guy that's running the floor, I think that's the perfect fit. So now you have Jalen Johnson coming back, right, which is like adding someone who played in an all-star caliber. You add that, you add Asa Newell, you add Kristaps Porzingis to this group, and then Dyson Daniels is who I voted for Defensive Player of the Year. I just look at the Hawks, and I'm like, oh, okay, 22-1 odds. I would take that 10 times out of 10. And then the Orlando Magic, their core three only played 6 games together last season. So now you're adding their weakest part is another perimeter defender and 3-point shooting. A guy that does those two things, man, those are the two teams. When I see those odds, it screams at me like, I'm taking that flyer.
Yeah, Hawks 22-1 to win the Eastern Conference right now. Chris Miles, courtesy of our Progressive guest line, of course, NBA TV. He was doing some draft coverage pre and post of the draft. It all starts with Cooper Flagg, so we'll get some Cooper Flagg thoughts. What do you make of this fit? Are we getting over our skis a bit, knowing that Kyrie's going to be out to the middle of the season, or what do we expect right out of the chute here from Cooper Flagg down in Dallas?
As you know, I've seen Cooper since he was about 14 years old. I got a phone call from a good friend of mine, and he was like, hey, I know you know I've covered high school kids for years. And it was him and Cam Boozer were in the same class. I was like, these kids are amazing. Same thing with Common Malawak. I saw him all about that same age when he was with the Global Academy. And the thing that I say about Cooper is a lot of the hype people thought he was going to continue growing, like he measured in at 6'8". People thought he'd be the same player, like 6'11". So I think the scoring prowess, if he's asked to be your leading scorer like he was towards the back end of his freshman year at Duke, I think you come up short of winning a championship. But if you ask Cooper Flagg to just be a really great basketball player, almost like a Swiss Army knife, maybe even like how we view a Jimmy Butler, right? Then you're like, that jumps you into a championship contending team. So I look at the Mavericks and I'm like, this, he couldn't have landed in a better spot other than like maybe the San Antonio Spurs. But you got Kyrie Irving coming back at the back end of the season. You got Anthony Davis. You got the lob threats. That's another thing, to have, you know, two guys, three guys back there who can defend the back end. They're going to be elite defensively. And Jason Kidd said something interesting, that he wants to see Cooper kind of play the point guard in summer league. Mm. I think that's his most elite NBA offensive skill, his passing and passing IQ, right? Like, he understands when to make the right passes, where to go with it. And I think if playing for Jason Kidd, I think all of those things, you know, get the best out of him while hiding some of his warts.
The rest of the rookie class outside of Cooper Flagg, let's run through those fits. Your favorite fit amongst all of the draftees?
Trey Johnson in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what his odds are.
10-1
Years out on the street. Oh, my God. That's insane. So let me explain this to you. When you look at all of these kids' situations that they're going into, like Cooper, you kind of feel like the numbers. I don't think he's going to get the numbers to get there. They're going to win enough, and he's obviously going to have the attention behind him. Dylan Harper, okay, you're playing behind two established guards, including the current rookie of the year. Ace Bailey is the other guy I would look at. But Trey Johnson, man, he's going to a situation, to a team that's like, we need the guy. We need someone to score. And when I say he's an elite scorer, let me explain this to you. I had his high school game. It was him and Jasper Johnson in backcourt. They're playing against VJ Edgecombe, who's an elite defender. And I'm like, all right, let me see what this kid has. And he scored 8 points in 11 seconds. And then I interviewed him after, at the end of the first quarter. I was like, hey, you know, like when that happened, how magical was that? He's like, oh, no, I just got a couple opportunities. And it clicked for me, like, oh, this kid does it all the time. Then I went and watched some other clips from him. Like, no, he's one of those guys. When it comes to scoring, you can try to put it on a piece of paper. Like, is he elite? An elite shooter? Yeah, kind of like Ray Allen. Like, oh, really? Yes, like that. Check that box. How athletic is he? Well, other than VJ Edgecombe, he was like second athletically at the draft combine. Like, you don't really like, he has bounce. He has speed. He has a quick release. And he makes difficult shots like Ace Bailey does. So going to Washington, it's like, okay, rookie of the year, if he's healthy and they see what they got there, that's going to be my long shot. That's the vote that I'm putting in right there.
You know, I would say Chris is just copying me, but I do know he was busy last hour at his daughter's T-ball game. So he did not. I said the same exact thing. And look, Chris, you and I met in D.C. working for the Wizards flagship, right? I have been hypercritical of this organization forever. I love this pick. It makes a ton of sense. And, you know, I'm curious what your colleagues and what you think of the veteran guards that are there. They're not there to win championships, right? Chris Middleton knows why he's there. There's a reason he is there. So I just think, yes, Cooper Flagg is the rightful favorite, but if you're looking down the board, Trey Johnson, as you alluded to, his first game of his college career, he had 5 threes and had like 28 points against Ohio State. The dude just gets buckets.
And it's all the time. It's not like that was a, you know, he's up and down. He's consistent. And if he has a bad game, it's like 16 or 18 points, or he's not efficient with the shooting because the defense focused on him. But the thing that I think he does well is, a lot of times when guys are good scorers, like Cade Cunningham came into the league and I was like, ah, he looks a step slow. I'm trying to tell you that quick twitch that Trey Johnson has is there. So I think also you said something about the Wizards organization. This is a different organization now. So to that point, like when I look at what they're doing, I have to judge them by all of the draft picks they nailed last year, including Sar, who I was like, at second, I wouldn't take him. I think that Trey Johnson at six has a higher value than Alex Sarr at two in the previous year's draft. That's how high I view Trey Johnson.
Real quickly, Chris, we got about 30 seconds. Thoughts on Ace Bailey in Utah?
I love it for him. I you know, seeing him in high school, I live in Atlanta, watched him a lot, you know, what's around him. Seeing it firsthand, I'm like, you know what? I'm glad he's going to Utah. Isaiah Collier's there. Colin Sexton's there. Two Atlanta guys that if he's like, hey, how do I live here? We got you, bro. Go make it happen and go be a great player in Utah.
Hey, Chris, always appreciate it, man. I know you're busy on a Saturday, so appreciate you jumping on.
T-ball Tom. You see my Gina jersey? There. T-ball Tom.
There he is. Chris Miles, our good friend from NBA TV. I did not lead the witness. I threw it up on a tee. Great minds think alike, I guess. Let's go Trey Johnson. Let's make it happen out there in D.C. Hey, folks, if you want to know where the money is really going, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbook, giving you the insight on where the sharp action is landing. If you want access to those exclusive betting splits, you can get them for as little as $9.99 your first month. Head on over to vsin.com/subscribe.
Seen the $500 trifecta. Use your GBank Visa Signature credit card within 3 months of account opening and deposit $1,000 at First Bet to trigger your $500 trifecta. GBank across the line with $200 cashback rewards. First Bet is next with a $100 deposit match. Visa completes the trifecta with a free pro limited subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta. Visa.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis bring you VSiN by the Books, the show that breaks down the biggest stories in sports betting from the night before and gets you up to speed as a new day begins.
Essentially, if St. Louis wins that series, Dave, then you're in a pretty profitable spot to be able to hedge that National League pennant ticket.
If there's one kryptonite for Superman, it's the putter.
Start your day with all the crucial information you need to become a sharper better. Check out VSiN by the Books, weekdays at 7 a.m. Eastern on VSiN. Gear up for football season the sharp way with a VSiN Pro subscription. Right now, grab our football special for just $175, an early bird deal that gives you full VSiN access through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, loaded with team previews, power ratings, and season-long best bets. Plus, pro picks sent to your inbox daily, betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live shows on the VSiN Watch app, and so much more. Don't wait. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe and join us on the Sports Betting Network. Download the VSiN Watch app to stay plugged into the latest sports betting insights with VSiN's expert analysis, streaming live and on demand. Whether you're at home or on the go, the VSiN Watch app gives you access to every show, every highlight, and every deep dive into the action. Looking for something specific? Use the search feature to find coverage on your favorite teams, matchups, and sport. Exclusively for VSiN Pro subscribers, download the VSiN Watch app today on the App Store or Google Play and join us on the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.